Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Mayor D.C. Reeves is on the line with me. We talk to him every Wednesday. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Hey, a couple of things that are sort of follow-up things. One is, I think you and I, when we talked, was it last week? The weeks kind of blend together a little bit. Maybe it was the week before. But we had talked, it was the last week. We talked about the Portland Lose, and I had thought maybe they were going to be actually operational at the skate park and on Palafox at the Martin Luther King Jr. Plaza. I went and looked, and they were still contained off from the public with, you know, they were installed but not available. And it looks like that's actually going to be Tuesday is when both of those are going to open up. Is that right?
Yep, that's right. So they're already down. It looks like they're ready, but obviously doing the final trimmings and everything like that. And so both will be operational. So if you go to Palafox Market on North Palafox, you'll be able to use it, but not this Saturday, but the following Saturday. But it'll open on Tuesday, and then same skate park will open on Tuesday as well.
And some of the things, because you and I were kind of talking about this off the air, some of the things about this that I had not remembered or realized that – the technology is really quite innovative, right? I mean, everything from the light that they use to the fact that you can see through them at the floor level. I mean, these are not just casual design elements that happened. They are intentional from a city that developed them, that they really work well for a high population homelessness / misbehavior, right?
That's right. I mean, what we did was you really have two choices. You could either do a brick and mortar situation and I think, specifically from a safety perspective, I think it proves pretty difficult. And if someone were to lock the door behind them, something like that is a pretty hard thing to keep safe. And so, fortunately or unfortunately, all of the technology from being able to see feet, you know, underneath it and above it, but obviously having privacy, the lighting, all of those different things make it easy for our police to see if there was anything that shouldn't be happening there. And again, it just got developed over time as Portland or other cities started to see those issues. So that's why we wanted to go with these, is they're easy to clean, easy to maintain, and easy to keep safe. And that isn't the case necessarily with your typical brick and mortar building that you might see at an old community center outside, for example.
Yeah, I mean, everything from, you can obviously tell if there's two people in there shouldn't be. You can obviously tell if somebody has been in there an awful long time, that you can see that somebody's in there. As you say, it's very easy to clean out, spray out. It's very simple to maintain. And even the light overhead makes it hard, for example, for a junkie to see their veins because of the way the light is designed. And those are all, and there's other elements too, but like those are all things that I had not thought of. And you kind of explained to me, I thought, oh, well, that's actually kind of genius, really. Unfortunate that it has to be, but, you know, genius nevertheless. We didn't have a chance to talk about this before, I think, but obviously the Drag Queen Christmas came and went at the Sanger. Other events came and went. You and I, when this had become kind of a discussion, and I know that the people who were protesting and demanding had basically asked, is there not a way we can have a clearer delineation of, you know, acceptable content at the Sanger? And that was something they were asking city council to take up as an initiative. It's obviously not on the next week's agenda, but is that something that you intend that the council will take up as a, hey, how can we avoid this in the future kind of thing?
Yeah, well, I mean, not necessarily from my desk.
Okay.
And the reason is all things in general, not speaking to a specific event, the hiring of an operator to be making decisions and those decisions not be swayed by people in office, I think is a generally good concept. These are folks that know how to organize, that know who to call to get shows in general, in a general sense, not picking one that you like or don't like.
Sure.
And the second that the government starts getting involved in, whether it's saying, I believe Drag Queen Christmas should happen, or that the next night that there should be the church service like there was at the Sanger. Do you want your elected officials, I don't mean today or whether you agree with me or not, but over time to be picking winners and losers as it pertains to what content, artistic content is taking place? I don't know that's a win-win. In one moment, it might seem like a good idea. In the next moment, it probably those same people might think it was a terrible idea. So I think that having that arm's length, more than arm's length, between government officials selecting what we believe or perceive to be art or not art or is probably not the best strategy. Now, there already are things that protect the, you know, there can't be you know, you can't turn it into a strip club. You can't have, I mean, you can't have nudity. You can't have all. And of course that didn't happen
right.
on the 23rd and it hasn't happened. So I want to be clear. It isn't that you can do anything you want, but from a, when you start delving into this is content I approve of and don't approve of, I just think it could be a pretty slippery slope if we're looking long-term.
Obviously, Palafox closed down on Monday. We are in the midst of massive, you know, reconstructive surgery, putting in the storm drains, you know, grading the street so that it actually runs toward those what will be, you know, a stormwater system, all of the resurfacing and, of course, the renovation, all of that. But I have two questions that have been proposed to me. Kind of, they're a little bit wingnut-y mm-hmm. kind of questions, but I think you'll like them, and I'm curious what okay. you might say. The first one is, somebody asked me, the light at Garden and Palafox and the light at Main and Palafox, for the next 5 months, there's no traffic going from Palafox through those intersections. Would it not be possible to change the light pattern or make it, you know, flashing red south-north and yellows east-west? Is there a way to make that intersection or maybe even, you know, subsequent mm-hmm. intersections that are close by there? I know it's a state road, at least Garden is, but for the duration, is there a way to make that intersection work more efficiently?
Yeah, that's a good observation across the board. And first of all, you never have to qualify wingnut questions. I get those from you, you know, regularly. So,
okay, I just have an Andrew question then.
That's a good one. I'll have to ask our public works team. And you're absolutely right. There's a clear delineation between a state. It might take me 5 months, you know,
just to work through the deal.
Federal road or state road, not because they aren't helpful, but just, you know, it's a little more laborious to get something going on a state light. If we are controlling the main in Palafox light, that might be a little bit easier. And this is, of course, where I would make the joke that if you actually are the person that has been for years driving around trying to find a parking spot on Palafox, you would know this, that if you go northbound, my joke is, you know, don't worry, that light's only like 6 seconds at Garden Street anyway. So,
right.
you know, it's going to clear out pretty quick. So you may not even notice that we haven't turned it off, given the fact that you only about
same.
Three cars, it feels like, get through there.
Yeah,
you know?
That's so, right.
But anyway, no, that's a great observation. I don't have an answer to that. It could be already done or no one has asked about it. I'm not sure how, but we definitely will.
Okay. The other one, and this is definitely a wingnut question. Okay. You know, my theory about the Palafox closure is this gives us a chance to see it's the closest experiment we're ever going to get to seeing what a pedestrian district would look like on Palafox, because some people have said that's what they
right.
would want to have happen. But it made me think, well, sometimes for events, we make Palafox an open container district. Like for, you know, gallery night, mm-hmm. for example, you can walk around with your open container of alcohol. Would it be useful to consider making that same rule nights right now on Palafox, certain times maybe as a regular pattern, because we have now a no car zone and you don't have to worry about the interaction between people drinking in cars? Would there be a value, would the businesses like having an open container district on Palafox since we have it closed to vehicles?
Again, something we can look at. I think from a geography standpoint, you know, I think we've seen the map. We know where the fencing is going to go. We
yeah.
know all of that. But we kind of want to see it live, you know, to see what kind of before we do too much programming as it pertains to, you know, what do you do at the end caps of streets?
Sure.
We just kind of want to see how people are flowing from that perspective. You know, the open container district. You know, listen, we've got a lot of things to enforce in the city, lots of ordinances, lots of rules, lots of crimes. I don't think that that we have a reputation or that we are notorious for writing a lot of open container tickets. But I think it's an important rule to have down there because of the volume of people. So that one might be a little touch and go. It just depends on who's filing for it or what the request is. And all of that. So we're open to anything. And I think that's what I'm most excited about is we've really proven that. I mean, we've gotten going. We said we were going to get going. And we want this done by May 24th. And we continue to roll out from a marketing standpoint, communication standpoint, signage standpoint. That'll go on the fences now to give you it's basically a directory going up and down Palafox to tell you where to go. All of those things have been very intentional, and we've been working, and agents been working really hard on that.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll continue to be open-minded about anything that could be helpful down there for sure.
I guess for me, the only reason I was thinking of it is in the vein of trying to find ways to generate more traffic downtown to make up for the, what they might lose
right.
from. And, you know, hey, if we're having, you know, regular parties on the Palafox and, you know, Palafox temporarily becomes Bourbon Street for 5 months, pro or con, you know, that's what I was thinking, is maybe that's a way to sort of generate interest and participation and revenue, obviously, for these businesses that we assume are going to suffer somewhat through this this closure. Last thing, big topic, obviously, today is going to be the big event at the port, where we're going to have, you know, not only the grand opening for the American Magic facility, but some other announcements that I'm very, you know, you hinted at, but I'm very eager to find out what those are. Just again, for people who may not grasp this, and even I admit that I don't always fully grasp the significance of this, maybe in a couple of minutes, just explain, why is this such a big deal for us?
Sure. So the best thing to think about is, think about American Magic as not just a sailboat and guys that get on a sailboat. Think about it as a brand in sailing, that it's one of the lead innovators in the world as it pertains to sailing. So one arm of their brand is the actual sailing part. And again, they'll have some very exciting announcements about how they will be on the world stage within competitive sailing. And then the other part is this innovation in manufacturing, literally building sailboats, built technology, the simulators that they use to not only build boats themselves, but work with other major companies to build boats. So there's this entire industry of innovation and manufacturing, especially the composite, on the other side of this. And both of those things will be taking place inside the new building, Warehouse 10 at the port. And if you heard Tyson during the press conference yesterday, you know, he mentioned that this is a very unique thing in the world to have all of those activities for one company happening under one roof. That is not something you see in the United States and something you rarely see all over the world. So really, it goes back to what I've always said since we've been really hustling for this. When I started just a couple weeks in, was basically this plants our flag as really a preeminent sailing destination in this country and one of them in the world. And I think you'll learn that even more with the announcements that are made today and next week. You'll continue to hear some things from American Magic rolling out that continue to galvanize that reputation. And I think when you see the crowd of people and the folks that are flying in from all over the world in the sailing community that are going to be here in Pensacola today, we'll give you some good symbolism of that as well. So very excited for today. It's been a hard project and complex project for everybody on the city team, but this is a day of celebration, and we're glad to cut a ribbon and get this place open.
Outstanding. Looking forward to it today. We always like to end with a bit of a lightning round. So question number one for you is, how are your spices organized in your kitchen? Are they alphabetical by genre? The latest one gets put in the front. Do they have a drawer? Do they have a rack? Are they, you know, cluttered, organized? How would you describe it?
If our citizens of Pensacola had a mayor that had time to alphabetize the spice rack, then you should be asking more questions. It's whatever goes. It's a high above, kind of above and right of the stove pull out drawer that you just stack them in there. They're in the order of populist vote. You know, whatever I need the most is up front.
Okay, so essentially no order other than popularity determines who's the most available to you. Okay,
correct.
That's kind of how I do it too, so I appreciate that. Do you send or like to receive voice notes, which is not a text, not a phone call, but somebody records a message and then sends it to you like a mini podcast?
I don't mind getting them. I've been a little leery sending them, not for really any reason. I don't know. Maybe it's just I'm old school, but I don't mind them. I don't mind getting them. It actually helps me save a little time sometimes.
Okay. All right. And last question, how loud should a sneeze be? How loud are Mayor D.C. Reeves' sneezes? I feel like when I'm talking about Reeves' sneeze, I'm almost in Dr. Seuss land here, but go ahead.
I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, mine's pretty loud. You know how you say it? Mine sounds exactly like my dad's. Actually, I don't know if it's a genetic thing, but it's annoyingly loud. So I always do, instead of a bless you, I usually give out an apology.
And oh my God, I'm so sorry about that.
Whatever.
Well, is your mom
a
loud sneezer?
Average.
Okay.
Average. You know, I think.
So I would say.
No, I'm, it,
it's not genetic, but it's just good parenting. A dad teaches the boy how to be. And, you know, your dad taught you how to be a man in your sneezes.
Right. Get everybody's attention, you know, whenever I need to sneeze. Exactly. Yeah, it's good.
Very good. Mayor D.C. Reeves, look forward to talking to you again next week. Obviously, the city council agenda review and also the meeting are next week, and we'll learn more about that. Plus, the American Magic event today should be fantastic. Thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you soon, and I hope you don't sneeze.
Yeah, same here.